I just had an appointment for Rachel. Yeah. is your copy?
Another one? Oh, because this is Bob's?
Yeah, that's Woo-hoo. His, yeah.
And he knows I have it in my
book. Yeah, I actually got his permission.
All
right. Just, yeah, he was real curious to see what he had to say, too, you know, and I was
all right.
Going to all make right. sure I got my notepad and at the ready and take
at
notes.
Ready.
Notes at a furious level.
All right, well, I don't know about that.
Because inquiring minds wants to know.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, well, I understand that, you know, like last we take everything with a grain of salt.
A gallon of salt.
Gallon of salt.
A pound.
Pound of salt. Okay.
Okay. So, let's see.
Right. Now, that was just one of the tests. The other one I didn't have time to get or something.
That's
it's
okay.
A Faro B, whatever that one was. FIRO-B is a test.
I wonder what that one was.
That's one. If you on mine, I had this one, the mid. Looks like millions, but you know.
Like Milan.
And then the Faro B. You know.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Answer. Take your time. I got reading material.
Bob's read this, I'm sure, multiple
yeah,
times.
Yeah, he's read it, yeah.
Okay. A sense of self-importance. When you read it, you're like, bingo.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Resentful.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I know about Bob is really about how the two of you interact.
Yeah, that's kind of what this is all about, really.
So that inflated sense of self-importance, that arrogance, those really hit your soft spots.
Mm-hmm.
Socially intimidating, a voiced pride and self-reliance, lack of sentimentality, and competitive values. Although he feigns self-confidence, his behavior
mm-hmm.
appears to hide a deep insecurity about his self-worth
mm-hmm.
and is employed to compensate for past humiliation and failures. Deeply felt resentment may be projected outward, which it flies all over on you.
Yeah.
Because you're the only person we're really in life.
Yeah.
Precipitating frequent squabbles, antagonism, and personal and family difficulties. In his opinion, others are belligerent and antagonistic, and thus he is justified in his defensive aggressiveness. Now, what I want to tell you about these
mm-hmm.
tests is Dr. Rives did not write that paragraph.
Yeah, he just passing on the results of the test.
The MCMI takes the results and spits out these paragraphs.
Yeah.
Right? This is not based on him, Dr. Rice, having a conversation
yeah.
with Bob, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really, you know, like we talked about last time, this is the test's interpretation of your scores.
Yeah.
There may be things that are true, and there may be things that are not true. Kind of
yeah.
like your horoscope.
Okay.
I'm joking. This has more validity than a horoscope.
Oh, okay.
From my perspective. But just that one paragraph As little as I know about Bob, I see some things in here that...
Which paragraph are you talking about?
This one that I just read out loud.
Which was?
This personality patterns right here.
Oh, okay. Okay, personality patterns.
That second paragraph, you know, those look like things that you've described to me multiple times. And this next line, in this next paragraph, it appears that the guiding principle for this man may be to outwit others and use them to enhance himself. And he does do that because he... With the two of you, there's only two people in the room, but he's got to be the smartest guy in the room every time.
Okay. Yeah, that's... But I want to try to... Oh... Yeah, I want to try to do my best to get to the truth, which... And part of it is just being open to what I'm doing, you know, and, you know, what I'm doing wrong, you know, and so, you know, because I don't, yeah, so, so that's why.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is, he's going to, this thing about wanting to outwit others, like, he's always going to play this thing that he's, because he's inflated sense of self-importance, arrogant attitude, you know, feigned self-confidence, that makes it hard for you because you're always in this one down position. Like, you can try.
Yeah.
His personality...
Mm-hmm.
Hits that button.
Yeah. Oh, my button, right? Which makes me, I guess...
And angry. And
yeah, angry. Okay.
Have these. Because it would not be too hypothetical to record that he is self-centered and socially intolerant.
Okay.
Does that seem true to you?
Let's just say when I read the part, it's just kind of good for me, and then I kind of had the hope that he maybe internalizes some of it for himself. Now as far as the outwitting, I'll just say one part, probably more thing. You know, I've said a lot of things about him. You know, because there's one thing about the outwit where. You know, he's very, one thing he's good about is getting stuff cheap from Craigslist, and a lot of it has to do with outwitting. And what he does is he actually, when he contacts people at Craigslist, and this is something I'm kind of do this, you know, for him, you know, persuade him up, but he uses multiple emails. And they think they're dealing with different people, but they're dealing with the same person. And we call it good cop, bad cop. And there, I'll just give you one case. Was there was this lady who gave us a bunch of flooring, and I guess maybe I don't know what's going on, but I'll just say that all I know is one of his cops. You know, his characters made an offer of $80, but we ended up, she called the other cop, you know, and told us to pick it up for free. And not only that, but made us dinner.
Made you dinner?
Yeah. Well, she fixed a couple of sandwiches for us. I forget what it was, but it was kind of a good dinner, you know, that we ate on the way back. But yeah, it was really weird. But he's done that before, and he's got stuff amazingly cheap because of that, and just
that's funny.
Just that and other.
But the thing is that getting something over on somebody
When you say getting something over, what does that mean?
Like tricking somebody.
Yeah, tricking, okay.
Tricking somebody.
Uh-huh.
That feeds his ego. That's that whole being the smartest person in the room thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the next sentence says, let's see. Oh, so what do you think about this sentence? Although unlikely to pursue frank antisocial behavior, he may experience alcoholism or drug difficulties.
I think with that, compared to the both of us, he's actually better than me, because
that might be
one of those. Remember how we talked about the, you know, there might be some leans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say alcohol. For one thing, we've actually had a bottle of Jack Daniels that survived 15 years in his possession, and he was aware of the mm-hmm. booze. So, and then another time where, as far as drugs, we took our adventure into Oregon and got a half ounce,
mm-hmm.
and that half ounce itself lasted over a year.
All right.
And not only that, but when we ran out, we haven't went back to Oregon.
Okay.
And then I read a bunch of marijuana articles just in one day, just last week.
Uh-huh.
It was really weird. One was, Sanjay Gupta finally had to say yes.
What did he say? Yes,
well, he was maybe totally against it on that book that I was telling you about, the one I was reading. But he said yes, in that there are certain cases where, they talked about, it was for many people, it was the only choice they can take, because, kid who they tried everything to get this, kid's pain, but finally,
mm-hmm.
the only thing that worked was, Mother Nature's finest, And so,
So, that's actually really a good example about, here's where the test got it wrong.
Yeah, okay.
So we can look at what's true and what's not true.
And then on that same day, when reading the articles, I did read one other article where, that made, it was like an anti-sale. So of all the articles, there's this other one kind of trumped the other one in making weed look bad, which is, it said, it was talking about how it ruins your ability for planning, strategic planning, and that type of level of thinking.
Uh-huh.
And I personally think my brother, so this is just me thinking, that he's weak at that, because I've even though he's probably had more, been in higher level meetings, because he's always had the upper crust jobs and been in meetings where they did planning and all that, and he's planned, but somehow I think he's, I don't know if he's either scared of it or doesn't know, but he, as far as planning, I have doubts about that ability, so that's why I was pushing for anti-weed, because the way I see it, maybe, we don't want to make something worse.
We don't need to dumb anything down, okay.
So I really don't know about that, so.
Okay. This one is interesting. Although another likely hypothesis is, that he is characteristically touchy and jealous, include to brood and harbor grudges, and to assume that other people have bad will toward him. So do you think any of those things are true?
Okay.
Touchy and jealous, inclined to brood and harbor grudges.
Yeah.
I think that's true of both of you guys.
Yeah. Okay, so back in college, there was this one girl he was dating,
mm-hmm.
and she wasn't his girlfriend, but it was just like they had repeated dating,
Mm-hmm.
And there was one time when both of us was at a bar with her, and then this guy came by, and I saw jealousy in him. You know, it was just overt.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, I think on the last date, from what he said, it was a date where they drove all the way from Manhattan to Wichita. You know, it's like went to a party.
Manhattan, New York?
Manhattan, Kansas. Okay. Little Apple, not the Big Apple, but...
Okay.
And all I know is on the way back, they didn't speak, and then as he was leaving, he did a burnout, you know, in anger. I think that's what I remember. And it's what's called the beta pig, which is the party that everybody knows, and
mm-hmm.
he invited her, you know, as his date, you know.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
What do you know about Bob in terms of how he got along with people at work?
I can just use observations. When he got hired
at Micron,
when he was at in Wichita, he worked for a company called DP Tech that got bought out by HP, and the whole group that went to Wichita was kind of bonded together.
Okay.
And you know, he had friends, you know, and as far as working together, he did. There were some cases where some of those friends did not invite him to certain things, and then I saw some weird things at parties where I didn't understand what was going on. Like, it was almost like some guy was openly, what I felt was, making a joke about him or something.
Yeah.
And then I did have one of the friends confide in me that, oh, Bob's, you know, he's kind of on his own, or, you know, but that was probably Bob's closest friend for a while, for years. You know, this guy would, they closed a bar, drove to Seattle to pick up his friend's car,
uh-huh.
came back and closed the same bar again without sleeping.
Wow.
And they was real, you know, close friends, but they just, it's kind of weird like that, where I really don't know what's really going on, and I believe that if I was to ask him, he'd probably tell me the truth, what's really going on, how he got along with, how he worked with people, or, and I'd have to take good notes on that one too. But
so he worked at HP
probably
from the time he was how old to how old?
Okay, so he got hired at DP Tech, the company that got bought out by HP, and I think that was probably like, I'll say 91 or 92.
He'd been out of college a few years.
Over probably almost a decade, because right out of college he had shit jobs, because he was for a while both of us were equal, and both of us had shit jobs, and then he started pulling ahead, you know, after, because I guess for him, when he was a grocery checker, he really hated that job, and he was spending nights really manic coding, you know. And when he got hired at DP Tech, he wasn't hired as a programmer, but just as a tech support person. And he was trying to break the ceiling to become a programmer, and he finally did, because he wrote a utility that impressed them all. And also he had one honor, where a CEO fired him from DP Tech.
Uh-huh. And they hired him back.
The CEO later got let go, and he got hired back. Yeah. So you can imagine what that can do to make a person feel good about themselves. And,
but he did get fired.
And finally at HP, he was there. It'd be at least a decade, probably. I don't know what years, but it's maybe around, give or take a few years, a decade, where he had a high position, and
he stopped working when he wasn't very old.
What happened was after he got fired, he actually got hired again, but it was through a temp service, so he was talking.
So he was fired from HP, or he was laid off?
He was fired from HP because he just and I think
because why?
I'm not sure, but I actually am not sure, but all I know is the guy his boss was. I guess he said he was an asshole, and I'll have to talk to him about how he can sift between what he really thought and what's the truth.
And what's here?
Yeah, but I think maybe there might have been some truth in that. I forget what the sometimes he says something that where it's in, where.
But what I'm saying is, even if the boss was an ass,
mm-hmm.
lots of people have bosses who are asses and they don't get fired.
Yeah, that's true.
So something happened. Because he got fired, and then he got hired back on his contract, it sounds like.
Yeah, and he was like he is obviously a second-class citizen as a contractor. And right. there's two, it's over there, there are actually two
yes,
class.
They are.
Oh,
yes,
you
they
know
are.
About that
oh,
already?
Yes, yes, yeah.
yeah. Okay.
That's definitely true.
And now all I know is when he had that, and I don't know if he was doing this while at HP, but over there, while in his contract position, he did do a lot of surfing,
uh-huh.
Goofing off, just surfing, and he finally got fired after 2 years, but he did last 2 years, and
then he didn't work after that.
After that, he got a contract position to write a program, an iPhone program, and I think he did really good because this is, he kind of played around with iPhones before programming, but little light program, but he was like, when he was working for this one insurance company to write a program for them, which he successfully did, it was almost like the old building an airplane while you're falling, And so that's what he was doing there. So, and then he got another job at a place called ShoutStage, where they were, I forget what his hourly wage was, but it was, for me, it was really great, the hourly wage was, but for him, it was just, he didn't like it, but he worked and he got fired there.
Again?
Yeah, and then again.
Why does he keep getting fired?
I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's.
Is it because he's got to be the smartest guy in the room? Which is not that different, Richard, from you and that St. Luke's position.
That, I'll ask him about that now, and because he's surprised me on where he's did opposite of what we're talking about, a lot of times, because he's actually, when we were working on building the berm around the fence, he was actually working harder than John Henry, just
really?
Hours and days, and he's actually physically moved a lot of dirt.
But there are also times where he's retired.
Yeah.
I've heard you say that many times.
Yeah.
But, he's been retired. He's 62.
Mm-hmm.
I've known you at least 10 years.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And he wasn't working then.
Yeah.
He stopped working.
I think his last position was some software company that schedules air,
Alaska or something.
Well, not like flights, but just like, flight schools or I forget what it was, but it was a software company that had it like a database driven program for scheduling something. And I think he lasted a year maybe there, but after that, it was just like no more.
So he just has lived on. So does he have disability?
No, he could probably qualify for it, but
he's just lived on retirement, whatever money he put away.
Yeah, which is pretty healthy right now.
So he was good about managing all that money.
Yeah, I think maybe part of it was he was living with me too much, because I'm, he calls me Chief Reek, and I think he's even though he we have what's called the financial argument, the high road, or it's the people who do the higher level stuff and hire the people for the lower level stuff, and then me, I'm actually like, I still collect cans, and he nags at me about collecting beer cans, and taking. And like in the back, my backyard, I probably have a bunch of about almost a ton of steel that I'm going to do what's called a steel heap run, over to Pacific Steel to still, get, instead of throwing it away. And so we have little spats about that, because he's out. But then he'll turn around and when he lost, I forget one case where he lost $20 and got him real upset. And then, like I said, he, as far as our flooring, he's been really good about getting flooring, free flooring, and he did the whole thing there.
Yeah.
And also he's done a lot of work for me, like just the last 3 weeks he helped me build. He did most, about probably 80% of the work on a. Let's just say a 300, almost a 400 square foot shed, and it's already 80% done. That's and great. He's done most of the work on that. So he's been doing a lot of work.
That's good.
Yeah.
And Richard, please do not hear me talking trash about Bob. I'm not talking trash about him. We're just looking at what are the weaknesses that are here that cause conflict between the two of you.
Yeah, yeah.
So think about this sentence and tell me what you think. Where was it?
Okay.
Much of his expansive and arrogant demeanor may be a posture and a fantasy of importance and potency rather than a reality. And it may be acted out only with safe partners and subordinates. Nevertheless, his desire to impress and intimidate others is deeply felt and appears to stem from his need to overcome his sense of inner weakness and vindicate past injustices. And what I wonder about as I read that is that arrogant demeanor is a posture and a fantasy of importance and potency. Like, if you've got that arrogant demeanor, that's an easy way to get yourself fired. People don't like arrogant,
I did see in one, the only thing I could say factually about that is there was in one job report, it was like a performance report, and yeah. I think the word cowboy was used.
So he had, he's gonna go off and do what he thinks is the right thing, and even if there's, HP's this huge hierarchy.
And then I think when he was applying for a job, and I think he was with Clearwater Analytics or some other place like that, they detected something where he kind of goes on his own. I may be conflating stuff or whatever, or getting mixed up with something else, but I could have sworn that's one of those, I call it, kind of fish that got away, as far as information. Yeah. I guess maybe I'll just say one fact was about a year ago, a little over a year ago, you heard of Boise Entrepreneur Week, and we, my brother and I went to a meeting where it was the people who was putting it together, not the event itself, but for getting volunteers to help with the event, you know.
Yeah.
And over there, what was his, you know, one of his places, one of the owners of the business that fired him, you know, the two bosses. And he was kind of saying something to the effect that where he felt really bad when he was talking to them, or you know after the fact he was talking bad because he was saying how he was trying to impress them. And bragging. And afterwards he kind of felt angry or depressed about it. I forget what it was all about. But I remember that my behavior was bad too, because I actually, you know, like when I talked to the bosses, I was joking around and I said, "I heard you fired my brother," and he said, "Yeah," and then I shook his hand and everybody was laughing and really in hindsight that I was just trying to be funny, but that was a mean thing to do.
At the same time, it was just like, nobody knows Bob better than I know Bob, and I can understand why you might have made that choice. You know, like, you know your brother, you know his weaknesses.
Uh-huh.
And I can understand why people laugh, but...
But I didn't really... I guess I never really did talk to him about that, or I wasn't paying attention to how he was reacting. I think he was kind of laughing just to be laughing, but I didn't really look at him. But I know when everybody else was laughing real strong, and you know, that's all I remember.
So it says, so the areas that has this section, noteworthy responses. I seem to create situations in which I get hurt or feel rejected, and I often enjoy starting an argument or a fight. And I have difficulty controlling my anger. He said,
now that's all one sentence, the one's concept, or?
No, it's under, look where it says, that section where it says noteworthy responses.
Noteworthy response. Let me just write that down. And what you're saying on those two is maybe it's kind of consistent with what you observed about him, or?
Those are ones, it says here, these items suggest specific problem areas that the clinician may wish to investigate. So, I seem to create situations in which I get hurt or feel rejected. I often enjoy starting an argument or fight. And I have difficulty controlling my anger.
Uh-huh.
Like what I'm saying is, if he were to ever go to counseling on his own, it would be worth it for him to take this in and say, I'd like to focus on these things.
Oh, so, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That he could focus on those things, and because it would probably make things better between the two of you if he didn't enjoy starting an argument or fight. Like,
oh,
that would make things better with you.
Yeah.
So, thinking about a conversation with him that's getting elevated, and you thought things were okay, but he's getting you ramped up.
Yeah.
You can say, Bob, are you acting vengefully prone right now? Are you trying to start a fight? For what purpose?
And there, actually, that comes up very often where I actually say that he loves to start arguments.
Uh-huh.
And I use the theory that because you know, I use the word trolling, where he says no, but I say yeah. Where he's very good about winning arguments online, And he does say, and I do believe that he says that in the rare times when he loses arguments, he actually he's hurt, but he says he's rather has those because it makes him a better person or better arguer. I don't know which, but either way,
yeah.
just that attitude there says he's above something, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and then I know that there's some people who, I'll use the word troll, you know, where I felt that there, you know, like there's some people who are just saying just spiteful things and he knows that they're kind of, I'll use the term dim-witted, but he'll still pick on them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because maybe they get to him a little bit, you know, when they, you know, when they, you know, insult him, you know,
yeah.
and he'll just, and when he fires back, it's not just like at their level, but he'll just do something kind of quiet going back. And his, one of his favorite lines that he uses in some of those fights, he says, I'll let you have the last word.
I'll let you have, ooh.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of.
Which communicates what?
He's still in control.
He's still in control.
And still winning the argument, but
yeah.
He'll
grace us with his charity.
And I think he knows that's making them fume. And he has several, quote, enemies that are kind of regulars who want to give him another, you know, try another attempt to try to battle him. And when I think about that, I think about this one video I saw where, you ever heard of a mantis shrimp?
A what?
A mantis shrimp.
No.
Okay, it's a shrimp that actually punches, and it's actually punches so fast that the Navy is actually looking at how to make submarines. But it's got a punch where if you was to, you know, there was somebody who had a little mantis shrimp in a big tank with thick glass, but it cracked the glass. And another time where some kayaker caught one, and I think it punched his leg and he didn't realize, he was freaking out because he didn't realize the gravity of how it was. But there was one where it showed this mantis shrimp was just chilling, and this crab came and the mantis shrimp punched the shrimp or punched the crab, and it lost one of its pinchers, and the crab went away, but the crab came back for more and it got the other one. And so that's why I think about, you know, some of the people who are coming back for more, and he does the same thing. He punches and gets the other pincher.
But
it's a creepy animal. It's just, I think it, like when it moves so fast, it makes, I think maybe it turns the water to steam. It's that fast. It just, the punches, it makes the water cavitate where there's,
weird.
Where some of the water turns to gas, you know, steam or something. But it's just, if you ever Google mantis shrimp, you'll see some weird stuff.
I would see some weird stuff. That is strange. So, this last little section, personality disorders, they're saying that, you know, they're not saying this guy definitely has a narcissistic personality disorder, but he has a narcissistic type,
mm-hmm.
and that turbulent and sadistic style.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when he does things that hurt you, that yank your chain.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I think the thing that's most helpful about this is recognizing that you're not nuts, for lack of a better word. Like, when he's digging at you, he's digging at you, and he's doing it intentionally.
Okay,
you
yeah.
know, like,
uh-huh.
He can't tell you you're being too sensitive, you're a big baby. No, it says right here, he has a sadistic style, like,
yeah.
he is.
Okay.
And so, you know, whether you guys, you know, It sounds like y'all don't want to go back to Dr. Rice with all the crosses or whatever.
I think he's probably going to do an appointment with Rice and talk with Rice and try to, but beyond that, I didn't really talk to him about that. But now last meeting you talked about me going to a particular, like, is it psychologytoday.com or which one to where I do the vetting or has the list?
Yeah.
Psychologytoday.com. Okay. Uh-huh. I haven't done that yet. All I know is I started a vetting project, but I think he's still going to see Dr. Rice and just maybe pick up some things for himself. And I made sure, I said, are you doing it for you? And somehow, you know, there's a lot of times where it's kind of a struggle when I say, are you doing it for you? And he said, no, I'm doing it for you, or something like that. But I think he kind of wants to do it, but I just don't know where he's at on that, so it's kind of hard. Now, as far as what you can gather, I know that, like, if you there are certain things where you can do on a daily basis, where if you do those things in a period of time, it'll actually start its way of improving something, you know, just, you know, known facts, you know, like if I want stronger arms and I just religiously do 100 push-ups a day, in 2 months I will have stronger arms. And then I think as far as mindfulness, if I do religiously start off with, you know, 3 1-minute sessions a day of meditation and start growing, I actually do believe that in 2 months I'll be a different person. And you agree, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I use the term the action. So there's the action, you know, that's a known good action.
Yeah.
I call it a bench press, because when you do bench press, it's real simple. It makes your arms stronger. Or if you run a mile a day, then you have better endurance. But I just use the term bench press. So what is the, quote, bench press or best simple exercise that moves you towards less narcissism? Is there something like that, or something?
That's for him to do, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. So what would be something that's just almost a known good that, or the best thing you can think of?
I think that's a really good question.
It may not be. It's not. I'm not talking about solving the problem, but just the best thing that moves.
Right. That moves that needle somewhere.
Yeah, just moves the needle. Left, not right. Yeah.
I think you could read these few paragraphs every day and say, I'm gonna be aware of this, that these are some flaws. Like, I'm gonna work on
which page are you on?
This page 5, personality patterns.
And so if he was to say, like, if whether he didn't believe it or not, if he was to say, like, every day for, say, 3 weeks, read it once, read from top to bottom,
just that section on personality patterns, like, what in here is true, what in here can I work on?
Or what's the time period? Like, if every day he did it once, how long before he starts, would you say he maybe, I don't know if he get to the point where there's noticeable change or not, but...
I really don't know, because...
You know.
He would have to not just read it and be like, I'm reading it, but definitely actually look at it and say, what in here do I recognize in myself is true, even if I don't like it, and I want to make a change? That's the biggest thing. Like, do you think he wants to make a change?
It's kind of funny, because last week I kind of, you know, there's the old saying, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you're
thinking that exact same thing.
But you can't get him to drink.
Yeah.
But then I kind of modified it to the current times, where you can lead a horse to water, but you can't get him to reflect or or see his reflection. So, yeah. And I think he liked that. He did like that. So yeah. I remember him liking that. But so
he has to be willing to take this and not just completely.
We use the term rubber stamp, where he just goes through the process. And, yeah. But okay, so read and actually think in his head.
What in here is true about me? For example, like that sentence about the substance use, and you're saying that's actually not really a problem for him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what in here is all God's word from on high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, uh-huh.
But I know that some of these things are pretty close.
Okay.
And so he has to be able to say, yes. And the reality is he said true to these statements. You know, the statement was, I often enjoy starting an argument or a fight. True.
Okay, and that page, what?
That's under noteworthy responses.
Oh, okay, I think I already.
Yeah.
Nope. Noteworthy, and that's, what page is that?
Six.
Okay, all right.
Those are the things that he has to be willing to say, okay, these are kind of problematic, and I know that I have difficulty controlling my anger, I enjoy starting a fight, I create situations, like, okay, I already told Dr. Rice I believe those things are true about myself.
Uh-huh.
So, they're not great. So, what do I want to do about it?
Now, here's the question. We just talked about, like, doing the bench press, and you said reading, and, mm-hmm. and he needs to get into it. Let's just say there was a magic pill where if I said were for the next 30 seconds, he would believe what I said and do as I say. And if I told him to do, if it was... I'm asking you if he was able to get behind what I told him to do and actually do it the best of his ability to get rid of narcissism, in that case, what would be the good quote bench press to do to move the needle?
These are good questions, Richard. They're really good questions. And so one thing. I really like that idea. Like, okay, he's going to listen for 30 seconds and he's going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be. So, a narcissist?
Mm-hmm.
Has, even though they project this image of being the cat's meow,
yeah,
inside mm-hmm. they feel very, very deeply insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I know that, and it talks about that. Let me see if I can find it. I don't want to write on this.
No, this is yours. You do what you.
Fine.
That's
okay.
Yours.
Oh, then it doesn't matter.
And if you do write it off, I can actually get you another copy if you.
Okay. I just want to show it to you. So it's this, in this section on personality patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's on page.
Five.
Okay, page. Yeah, personality five. Patterns.
Last paragraph of personality patterns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last sentence.
Then starting with nevertheless or.
Let's see. Sure. And it, okay, nevertheless, his desire to impress and intimidate and appears to stem from his need to overcome his sense of inner weakness. Inner weakness. So that's what, so when you're talking about this, okay, we've got 30 seconds.
Yeah, and I would tell him to some type of exercise he can do every day that would move the needle to the left.
Move it to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Of, so let's think about, because you grew up exact same time and age and space.
Mm-hmm.
So what was happening? We'll get to your question.
Yeah, okay.
I want you to think about, where do you think that inner weakness came from?
Oh, what, where, how it, how?
I mean, it goes deep and early. So that inner weakness, where did he develop the belief that he's not good enough, that he's not strong, that he's not capable, that he's...
Okay, so somehow... he became like where he truly lost confidence,
or he never got it,
or never got confidence,
maybe not that inner weakness, because personality, like that starts from day one. You're mm-hmm. developing that. So thinking about growing up, what messages did he get from mom and dad that perhaps, I always hate to blame everything on parents,
mm-hmm.
but like what was happening?
But just to use that as to help understand yourself, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's something I can kind of...
So this would...
Go ahead.
This would move the needle.
What's that?
So, to ask myself every day, you can do this for a couple months.
Okay.
Like that last sentence about that inner weakness.
Uh-huh.
What was that page?
Five.
Last sentence.
Okay.
That inner weakness. And, okay. So his sense of inner weakness. Where did that come from? And if he took 5 minutes and thought about it every day, where did that come from?
Where did it come from? Okay.
And am I willing to am I willing to live today where I don't feel like I have to fight a battle?
Oh, where?
So where did that come from? Just because maybe your parents or whatever tell you that you're not enough, well, that's their garbage. Like, everybody's enough. Like, we're all doing the best we can. Like, how do I get more self-compassion?
Mm-hmm.
How do I get more self-compassion? Can I live today acting in such a way that I believe other people aren't seeing my weakness?
Okay. Oh, okay. That's cool. And let me just kind of reflect back what you're saying. Okay. So right now I'm reading. I'll be.
Okay. Yeah. We gotta go.
Okay. So tell me. Okay. I'm reading a book. The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And it says, you know, like there's a Texas saying that the smallest dog barks the loudest.
Mm-hmm.
And they was talking about that, where the smallest dog probably knows he's small, but he barks real loud. And so, and they said other things. So.
But he doesn't have to think of himself even as a small dog.
Okay, just stop doing that.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be a small dog. He can be a Rottweiler or all he wants. But he feels like he is the smallest dog. And so in order to keep himself safe, he yanks other people's chains and has to be the smartest guy in the room, and that's why he does this sadistic barking at people.
Yeah, okay. And maybe what I can do is I could just, because there's sometimes where I lash out and say bad things to him. And maybe that maybe makes things worse.
So you go, you would do the exact same thing. You would go to your noteworthy responses.
Oh, my noteworthy
responses. And pick one of those. And
Okay.
I'm going to think about every day. Pick one. Number one, is that true about me? How do I know it's true or not? How can I do it differently today?
And does it also include, where did I get that from too, or just not?
Well, we're not going to worry about that. We're just going to start with those.
Okay, pick the response, and what'd you say?
Think about how is that true or not, because these are not word from on high. Right.
And on that's the noteworthy response, and just pick the one that
pick
I probably
one. Pick one.
Okay, to get
there
right.
Will
okay.
be several there because I remember you had several there.
Okay.
So pick one.
Okay.
And say I'm gonna just work on this one until I feel like I'm doing a little better with it.
Okay.
And then pick another one.
Okay. Okay. So I guess since the last time, I'll just say the last 30 seconds is
okay.
So I'm gonna get another meeting with you. Maybe probably get that other. The fear OB test.
Oh, okay.
And also the thing, probably the big thing I didn't have time to go over was when I did my last minute with Janet, I asked her, you know me, give me some advice. And then actually the thing she brought up was the thing about minding fences, and I asked, first of all, the two rules, And I wanted to maybe talk about that more, because I think because I think that's what she said. And that is yours, because
okay.
I can
okay.
print more, it's
okay.
just.
Okay, so,
what's
your mining fences next time?
And I tell you what, if it's helpful, I will go ahead and email you the files, all four files, okay?
Just bring it.
Well, that way you have the file, so you always, if you either lose the paper or mark it up, you have those. Is that okay if I say?
Yeah,
okay.
All right,
okay.
Thanks for bringing those to me.
Okay, well, thank you, and I'm going to set another appointment.
All right, sounds good.
All right, and stay out of the heat, yeah.
All right,
we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
it is. Oh, you need to take that one. Okay. So sorry. Thank you.
We was in a session and things were getting good, but we got to maybe just, you know, the next available position chance. August 31st. Okay, hey, thank you.